today on Real Radio.
If you're suffering in great pain and you're a believer and you need the comfort of God, you, as great as John 3:16 is, it's not going to help. You understand what I'm saying? Makaira, specific verse for the specific need, for the specific rescue.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Pastor Jack desires that we'd be willing, usable, and that we'd be equipped to give a response for the reason of the hope within us, Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Jack once again warns the Christ follower that Satan is devoted to our destruction. That's the truth. He wants to destroy our witness by blinding us to the truth that God loves us. He forgives us of our sins through salvation and has a plan for our lives. So be wise, stay focused on the truth while keeping your dependence upon Him. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 17, that as believers, we are to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we slay demonic, satanic doctrines and influences in our lives? With the Word of God. But you got to have it. You guys, that word is Makaira. I can't belabor it. I just got to tell you, the Roman broadsword, I have one in my office. It's about that long. And it's what the Roman soldier either had in the middle of his back or off to his side. It was huge, and it's heavy. And when a Roman soldier would get that thing going, they would just get it going. And he kind of resembled a helicopter as it was going. And it was like, whoa, man, wow. Major crowd control when those guys had that thing going, okay? But listen, that's not the word used here for the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the word Makaira. It's an 18-inch blade. 18-inch. Cubit. That's a cubit. 18-inch blade. That the Roman soldier never pulled it out. Well, let me read it to you. Listen to this. Makaira, knife, dagger, blade, used for close hand-to-hand combat. The Makaira was the Roman soldier's last weapon to be drawn due to its effectiveness. It was light in weight and extremely sharp. The Makaira was plunged and driven into the opponent in a rapid and repeated manner and to the hilt, which resulted in the piercing and puncturing of vital organs. Death was almost certain as it was used with force and speed, rendering it the most effective defense against an enemy. And that's what the Bible says that the Word of God is, the Makaira, not the Roman broadsword. When you were in hand-to-hand close combat, you pulled out the Word of God specifically for that kill. So listen, if you're being tempted, you do not quote Genesis 1:1. Oh my goodness, I'm being tempted. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not going to help. Nothing's going to happen. If you're suffering in great pain and you're a believer and you need the comfort of God, you, as great as John 3:16 is, it's not going to help. You understand what I'm saying? Makaira, specific verse for the specific need, for the specific rescue. Believer, we need to know the Word of God. Later on, not now, read Psalm 119. It's all about the Word. Find out how powerful your Bible is. Read Psalm 119. Weapon of choice number 3, prayer. Prayer. Wow. When you pray, if you guys, listen, if we take this seriously, if we realize, man, where am I in this battle? Where am I? Am I like a spectator? Am I like driving around in the Mickey Mouse car while all the war is going on overhead? What's going on? You guys want to have some ice cream? And there's a war going on. See, man, I want to get in the war. Listen, pray. I have never met a Christian who just said, you know what, prayer is just the most doggone easy thing I've ever done. I mean, it's just so easy. Prayer is hard. I'll tell you what, it's hard just this way. Just go to pray and see if within 3 minutes your mind goes, dear God in heaven, I'm asking you to make me a believer that counts, make my life count. And when's the last time I changed the oil in my car? Have you noticed that? That's why I write that stuff down. If Satan's going to remind me of something, I'm going to write it down and then move on to the next thing. Dear God, forgive me for that. Lord, I'm asking you right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Should I mow the lawn tomorrow or mow the lawn? Write it down. If Satan's going to interrupt you, then write it down so you're not distracted by it and keep praying. If you don't know what to pray, open up the Bible and pray the Bible. I'm serious. Start with John 15:7. Start praying the Bible. Pray the Bible. It's awesome. Prayer. Listen to this. A praying Christian, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints upon their knees. Prayer. And you've got the Word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit you're dependent upon, you are a lethal weapon in the hand of Almighty God. Satan, his forces will freak. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, says the Amplified Version, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the masters, spiritual masters of worlds and rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit of forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural spheres or places. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Isn't that amazing? Look at us. It's our flesh right now, but we don't fight with this. Isn't it amazing? We can be standing here right now and go to prayer and look completely almost comatose as we pray. And in the spirit, there are major bombs being dropped or answers being delivered or the hand of God moving. It is awesome to realize that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Listen, mark this down, please. Demonic powers, satanic powers are powerful, yes, but they're limited. In the life of the believer, extremely limited. Listen up, everybody, because I got to start wrapping this up. Don't think, and I know many of you come from various church backgrounds that teach differently. Listen, don't think for a moment that there's such a thing as a Christian being demon-possessed. That comes from hyper-Pentecostal theology, and it's unbiblical. God will never allow one of his children, truly one of his kids, filled with the Spirit of God, stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit, a real believer, to become possessed by a demon? Impossible. Well, who says? The Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord does Christ have with Belial, Satan? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. If someone says they're a believer and they're possessed, they're not a believer. They're not a Christian. Don't fall for that false doctrine. It's rampant. It's out there. It's wrong. Say, yeah, but I've seen demonic stuff. I was just going to say, are there Christians who have not seen demonic stuff? But of course you've seen demonic stuff. That doesn't mean you're possessed. That means you're warring in the spirit. Take a stand for Christ. Get committed to something that the Lord really wants you to do. And I promise you, you will be opposed by the forces of darkness that will often be manifested through the faces and the lives of people who you even know. It's not that they're possessed either. The enemy can take out a fiery dart, a thought, and shoot it into the mind of a believer or someone, a believer's attitude, and they can use it against you to discourage you. No one's possessed, but the enemy can possess non-believers. No doubt about it. Animals, idols, non-believers. And by the way, you'll see an increase of this in America with all of the cults and occult that's growing in America. Someone wanted me to mention this. It's I'm going to do it a great injustice, but it was asked last time together, I'm confused about fallen angels and demons. What's the deal? And that's actually a very, very good question. Fallen angels, according to the Bible, are rebellious angels that, according to the scriptures, one-third of them were ejected from the presence of God, having been deceived by Lucifer. The Bible says this. You can read later, Book of Revelation, in various locations, chapter 6. But listen, Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. Listen, there are such things as fallen angels. You understand that? And the Bible shows us that angels, as their nature, can appear and disappear. They can often even, angels, and we have no reason to believe that fallen angels cannot. The Bible says that angels can manifest themselves, and we can't even detect them. They look like humans. The Bible tells us that we got to be careful because we can entertain angels in our day-to-day living. It says, be nice to a stranger, because you could be entertaining an angel without being aware, says the scripture. You can look at Hebrews 13, verse 2, regarding that. Angels, fallen angels. According to the Bible, I'll give you some scriptures. These are intense. For those of you who want to study this more, understand this. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll paraphrase. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 tells us that they were angels who, having rebelled against God, manifested their demonic influence regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Because of that, they're reserved in a special, I don't know, word, confinement at this moment because they're so wicked. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now, it came to pass when men, that is, mankind, began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. There's nothing unique about that, but it warns us something's coming. That the sons of God, Old Testament reference of angels, saw that the daughters of men, mankind, were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, the word is seized them actually, of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's the death sentence. The flood was coming. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, intercourse, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. They were known later on in Scripture as the sons of Anak. Remember Goliath? He was one of the sons of Anak. He was a Nephilim in Scripture. See, what are you saying? Jude verses 6 and 7 says there, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, what was their sin? Sexual immorality, sexual deviance. Having given them over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, the word is unauthorized flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. See, what is this? This is, listen, the difference between angels and demons, even fallen angels, they can appear and disappear based upon the characteristics of angels. But demons in Scripture are always in need of an animal to inhabit, an icon, an image, an idol, something. What's interesting is demons seem to be of a much lesser rank or power than an angel, be a fallen angel or not. Look, you guys, Lucifer, Satan, is a powerful guy. There are no demons that match that. What are these things? A fallen angel, I can figure that out. They were once a holy angel that was deceived by Lucifer and fell with him. But a demon, listen to this. In Matthew 12, 43, mark it down. Matthew 12, 43, Jesus said, when the unclean spirit, that's another word for a demon, has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, says the English Standard Version, or All versions, by the way, refer to either waterless places, desert, or dry, arid areas. Listen to this, it's strange. So when the demon has gone out of a person, he passes through waterless areas, arid, dry, desert regions, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house. Isn't that sick? The body from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. What does that mean? It means the guy fixed up his life now that the demon was gone, but there was no Holy Spirit living there. Then he goes and brings with it seven other spirits or demons more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first, so also will it be with this evil generation. What's the deal? This is simply a belief. We can't argue this for sure. That if Genesis chapter 6 is talking about the sons of God, fallen angels, which can physically appear, we see that throughout Scripture, cohabitating with women and producing freakish offspring, the Bible says they were giants, gigantic men. By the way, the Bible says they had six fingers and six toes on each hand and foot, that they are somewhere around in the region of 9 feet tall in those days, that if it's true, if that really happened, that somehow there was some sort of physical interaction between humans and the spirit realm, like incubus and those things of Greek mythology, what if it's rooted in some Genesis truth? Then their offspring who perished in the flood, that's what it says, you know. Where did they go? What are they? If they're part human and part fallen angel, where do they go when they die? Do they go to hell? Do they go to heaven? Or are they some sort, at this time, some sort of wandering aberrant spirit? We can't say for sure. But we have no answer from Scripture regarding demons unless they avoid waterless places for fear of the great flood that swept them away, taking their physical bodies, but their soul spirit is nomadic in the spirit realm, and they're called demons. Always looking for something to possess, always looking for something to occupy, unlike an angel. Interesting thing to think about. See, man, this freaks me out. That's weird. It should freak you out, and it is weird. All the more reason why you should stay close to Jesus. Jesus, when he had the demon come out of the man in Gadara, the demons went into a herd of pigs, and just to add insult to injury, where did the pigs go? Into water. Deviled ham, pigs into possessed. Anyway, interesting stuff. Listen, so what should be the Christian's response? We'll end with this because we're way out of time. You guys, take heart. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you hear that? That's James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, fight! And he has to flee. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil seeks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. The word is ward him off. Give him the word of God. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That's a tremendous statement. Final verse, let this wash over you. Apply it as the Holy Spirit gives you insight tonight. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't go outside until you do. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's a military command. Having girded your waist with truth. That holds all your armor on, by the way, the belt. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. Notice it's on your head where you think. And the sword of the Spirit, the Machaira, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is how you stay alive and subdue aberrant spirituality in these last days. Boot camp for the believer. Father, we thank you for the amazing power of your Bible. Lord, we know and we understand that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and that you have given us your Holy Spirit. Father, right now, as we conclude this message, that there may be those here tonight that are perhaps terrified, or they've been haunted by mysterious or strange bad dreams or unusual manifestations in their life. Lord, show them why. Expose to them, reveal to them the reason. And at the same time, may everyone secure their position with you to batten down the hatches, to cinch on the helmet, to put on that belt, and to be ready against the spiritual darkness. Lord, we have become so docile and so naive and so ignorant that behind criticism, attacks, lies, I think about the radio or television or internet or YouTube or Vimeo or something where something said, no qualification, no real facts, no whatever. What doesn't matter? The world is filled right now with lies. And unless we have your word dwelling firm in our hearts, we'll be swept away. But with your word, we will stand firm. Father, may every one of us make sure that we're walking with Jesus closer than ever now. We give you our lives. We trust in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Part 3. Thanks for listening to today's message. Pastor Jack wants to encourage you with this hope that with prayer, with living a holy life, and being consistent with the Lord, you will have a keen weapon against the present evils of life. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you got the Real Life Devotions coming your way on Monday? Every Monday morning, Pastor Jack puts out a Real Life Devotion. I got to tell you, a lot of people write us letters during the week saying, hey, the Real Life Devotion really makes a big difference in their life. And this one comes from Bonnie. She says, Dear Pastor Jack, I spent the last hour or so in a discussion with my nephew, who is a socialist. I've had many such discussions with him. I posted today's devotional to share in peace with him and my family and friends. We all need to remember this. Thank you for putting it far better than I could. In his peace, Bonnie. Thanks for that, Bonnie. Hey, listen, if you've got something to say about a real-life devotion, we'd love to hear from you. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hit the contact tab. Tell us what you think about the real-life devotions. Tell us what you think about anything on our radio program or any of our videos. Go to that website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and check out Real Life Devotions. Get them sent to your inbox every Monday. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.